Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again to stand in awe and perplexity as Jesus' face changed and shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. Not only that, but the sudden appearance of Moses and Elijah, as they also appeared in glory and spoke of Jesus' departure, what Jesus was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Therefore, Father, send your Holy Spirit today to help us to respond with the same words of Peter, Master, it is good that we are here. And to the voice of God the Father saying, this is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words for our meditation today is taken from the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. The Gospel of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, with special attention to the following verses. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. This is the Word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, Master, it is good that we are here. There's no question about the fact that as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his clothing became dazzling white. And he changed in a way the three disciples had never, ever seen him before. We also read in the Gospel of St. Mark that Jesus' clothes became whiter than anyone in the world could ever bleach them. And in the Gospel of St. Matthew, that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Not only then, also the appearance of Moses and Elijah coming back from the dead, talking with Jesus, as they appeared also in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Because that's precisely what the three disciples experienced at the top of Mount Hermon, over 9,000 feet high. We read in our text that about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As a matter of fact, we're told that as they arrived at the top of the mountain, that Jesus, as the Son of Man, needed time to get away from the crowd. Not only to rest, but to pray to his Father in heaven. As a matter of fact, all of this happened right after Jesus told his disciples in Caesarea Philippi that he was going to get ready to suffer and die on the cross. In the Gospel of St. Mark, we read that Jesus told them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and be raised on the third day. But the disciples didn't want to hear about that. They wanted Jesus to be their king of the Jews, the one who would take care of their physical, material things and needs of this life. As a matter of fact, we read in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 22, that Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, never, Lord, this will never happen to you. And yet Peter could not stop Jesus from going to the cross on Mount Calvary to suffer and die, to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There was no other way for Jesus to save the world, including you and I, from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Jesus must suffer many things. Jesus must be killed, and on the third day, rise again. And this was weighing heavily on Jesus. As the Son of Man, knowing that he had to suffer and die on the cross for the sins of the world, it was going to be a very slow and painful death. It was going to be a horrible crucifixion. It was really man's inhumanity to man, with the nails piercing his hands and his feet onto the wooden cross. And then the blood streaming down his face from the crown of thorns embedded into his head. So Jesus needed time to pray about this as he takes three of his disciples, Peter and James and John, with him on the mountain. As a matter of fact, Jesus prayed about this again later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he told his three disciples to watch while he was praying to his Father in heaven. And Jesus got literally on his knees and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." So when they finally arrived at the top of the mountain, we read in our text that the three disciples were very tired. We're told they were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw Jesus' glory and then Moses and Elijah with him. As a matter of fact, we read in our text that Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and spoke of Jesus' departure that he was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, both of them spoke about Jesus' imminent suffering and death, Jesus' imminent and triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem, as the crowds were excited about him and said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." But later on, that same crowd who were excited shouted, accusing him and saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Away with this man!" And suddenly, as Moses and Elijah were about to leave, Peter comes up with the statement, "Master, it is good for us to be here." Peter wanted to stay up there. He didn't want to go back down to the plain. It was wonderful to be there with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. "Master, it is good that we are here. So guess what? Let us make three tents. One for you, Jesus. One for you, Elijah. And one for you, Moses." Even though he didn't know what he was talking about or saying. Yes, temporary tents or structures to prolong their visit at the top of the mountain, with Moses as the lawgiver, Elijah as the prophet, and Jesus as the true Messiah. And as Peter was talking to the three of them, guess what? Suddenly a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Yes, they were terrified with everything that was suddenly happening before their eyes. And then that voice from heaven, God the Father, proclaiming, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Yes, listen to Jesus. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found to be all alone. Moses and Elijah disappeared. They were gone. And they kept silent about it. When Jesus told them as they went down the mountain, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." And they didn't. They didn't even tell the other 10 or 9 disciples who weren't up there with them at the top of the mountain. Jesus did this frequently during his 3-year public ministry, not to tell anyone. And there was a reason for that. He didn't want people to focus on his miracles, his miraculous signs and wonders, but on the message that he was bringing to them, that he was indeed the Messiah, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Now what about us again? What about you and me? What do we learn from the transfiguration of Jesus? First of all, we learn that the transfiguration of Jesus is indeed a revelation of the glory of Jesus in all of his splendor and majesty as not only Son of Man, but Son of God. But at the same time, we also learn that Jesus' transfiguration was a wonderful and beneficial experience for the 3 disciples who were with him, who were very discouraged, especially after Jesus told them that he was going to suffer and die on the cross, and they didn't want to hear about that. The words we find in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 20, beginning verse 19, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And on the 3rd day, he will be raised to life." It had to happen. That wasn't going back or turning back. When we become discouraged and we have our own fears and doubts, we know and we believe that Jesus will not only give us the assurance of our salvation in him as our Savior, but he will also give us the assurance that he will be with us always, especially when we face problems, trouble, disappointments, trials, and tribulations in life. It is then that Jesus will pick us up and take care of us. It is then that Jesus will love us and embrace us with his kindness and mercy and compassion. So may God the Father bless us and preserve us today through his Holy Spirit so that we may also have the same mountaintop experience the 3 disciples had on that memorable day. Master, it is good that we are here. The words we sang in the hymn of the day, "How good, Lord, to be here. Yet we may not remain. But since you bid us leave the mount, come with us to the plain." Yes, Lord, it is good for us to be here this morning in your house of prayer as we sang, "Glorify thy name and majesty," as we also experience in spirit the transfiguration of Jesus, even though we weren't there, in all of his glory, all of his splendor and majesty. Yes, majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory and praise, majesty, kingdom, authority. Flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem rise. Yes, Jesus, it's good for us to be here today on this Transfiguration Sunday, as Jesus also shows himself in a way we have never seen him before. His face shining like the sun, his clothes becoming bright as the light, And as he touches us again, as we partake of his true body and blood of the holy sacrament, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Yes, Master. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. It is good to be here today. In Jesus' name. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the Master, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all as we glorify his name, as we give him all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.